Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and the CAM Podcast is brought to you by O'Neill's Classic Archery. Today, here we are on Wednesday, 3 days after our guest here, Chris Schaff, won his first Vegas tournament. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, PJ.
How does that, has that sunk in yet? Vegas champ.
I don't think so. I think it's going to take a little while. I mean, that was, you know, I've won, you know, world championships in the junior class, World Cup finals, indoor and outdoor. And that was actually the first tournament where I actually broke down and cried a little bit.
I heard about that. Josh Grine was standing there and he said that after you just turned around, looked at Brady, and that was it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So how many times have you made the shoot off?
This would have been my fourth time.
Fourth time. Okay. And you've been competing how many years, like how many years would you have been at the Vegas shoot?
I shot the youth class for a couple years at the Riviera. I believe I shot one or two years in the pro class at the Riviera. So I don't know how long it's been at the South Point now, probably 8 years now. No, it's more than that, 10 years probably. Because the first time I made it was 2014 at the South Point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's 9 years ago anyway. So point being, the point I was getting at is, I mean, this isn't like, this is my third time there. You've been there. You know what the Vegas title means in the archery world.
Yeah, it's the one that I think everybody wants.
But let's talk about that, because then, I mean, this is like so far 2023. Man, this is your year. You come out with Neem, second at the Lancaster Archery Classic. Third at the World Archery Indoor, correct? Yep. And yep. Then you win Vegas. I mean,
it's been unreal so far. Unreal. I mean, I think it's just more arrows behind the bow, to tell you the truth. You know, Brady moved up here to Montana. He's got an indoor range. We've been pushing each other every single day. And it, I mean, it's not that I didn't shoot before, but I'd go to the archery shop and shoot, you know, 100 arrows in a matter of 2.5 hours because I had to, you know, wait on the other people. Where now I can shoot 300 arrows in 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Huh. Yeah, I was going to ask you that. So your training, are you doing anything different in your training?
No, just shooting more arrows, pretty much.
Just shooting more arrows.
Yep.
What do you think that is doing for you?
I think it's just the confidence to, you know, if you got confidence in yourself and confidence in your equipment that you're going to, every time you pull back, you're going to hit the middle, you know, it's, you know, what I think the best thing for everybody.
I'm sure you've heard it. I know I've seen it out there in the social media world. You know, people are saying, oh, this is Chris, you know, you changed bow companies this year, that you're wanting to prove yourself again or something like that. Is any of that a factor as well, or?
I don't even feel like I went anywhere. You know, I still won tournaments last year. I podiumed at tournaments last year. So I don't, you know, I'm not coming back out, I guess. I'm just winning more, you know?
Yeah. So for indoor, what was your biggest win before this year? Obviously Neem was the first one, but what would have been your biggest win in indoor?
I won Neem in 18. I won World Cup finals, indoor World Cup finals in, I want to say 19, I believe. So, I mean, one of those two probably.
And then to come out there with Vegas. And this year there were 25 or 26 in the...
I believe 25 plus a lucky dog, so 26 total.
26 with the lucky dog. Okay. So what's that like? Walk us through it. You know, they call you out one by one. The stadium is full. I saw the view of the crowd there. It was packed in there. What's that atmosphere like when you hear your name called and you walk out on the floor?
It was crazy. You know, when I first walked out, there actually wasn't a lot of people, you know, that cheered for me kind of deal. You know, they were all wanting Bodie to win, I think, you know, on the young gun. And then as soon as it started dwindling down, it was just, you could see it more and more and more and hear it more and more cheering for me. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and now as you're shooting in that, you know, it seemed like this year there was a pretty fast drop off. It seemed to me, I don't know, you know, might not have been, but it seemed quick that we really got down to the last couple archers.
Yeah, usually, you know, as soon as it goes to that first end axis, there's a few that dump out of there. But like the biggest shoot off I've ever made in Vegas was only eight of us, eight plus a lucky dog. So coming out with 26 of us, I mean, that was huge. Huge. So
And in your mind, what's happening in this type of situation? Are you fighting nerves? What's going on in your mind while you're shooting on that stage?
this was actually probably the least nervous shoot off I've ever been in for some odd reason. I mean, Neems, you can see it. I'm Brady the whole time. He goes, just calm down. You're fine. Just, I mean, I was jacked up in Neem this year. And then I walked out there and it's like I've been there a million times kind of deal. So it wasn't, I mean, I still had the nerves, but it wasn't overpowering.
Do you think any of that it helped that you were there at the Neem final, that you were there at the end of the classic? You know, that's
I
just
think so.
a couple weeks before.
Yeah. I think putting myself in that situation weeks prior it was definitely a help.
And then just shooting it out there for the big win. That's incredible. I forget how the take me through the last a couple arrows. It was you and Kyle left. I forget how the last end went.
So the last end, I got them all, and Kyle missed his second arrow. So I had to hit the last one to win. And I didn't, when George or whoever was commentating over the loudspeaker, he would say 10-9 liner. So I didn't really know if it was in or out. But then I had Brady standing behind me, like kind of, you know, calling my arrows, talking to me and stuff like that. And I could see, hear the excitement in his voice. And I'm like, oh crap, that arrow missed. You know, because he was all calm, cool, collected the whole time. And then as soon as that happened, it was like just his pitch was higher. He was talking faster. He was way excited. And I'm like, oh crap, he missed. So I think that helped me. All nervous, I guess.
Did you feel extra nervous on that last arrow?
Oh yeah. If I think in the video you can see me shaking back there. It was just, yeah, like I gotta hit this one, just one more arrow.
One more arrow.
Yeah.
Rio always talks about that. He always says, "Well, you know, you came this far, you shot all these good arrows, it's just one more arrow."
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that, I promise you.
I always thought, I don't know how you would ever be able to do that. No way. So, in that type of situation, what is your bow set up like? What are you doing? Do you have a lot of holding weight? Are you pulling really hard? What's happening in that moment with your bow?
Yeah, both of those. So I was shooting Super RTX, and I felt like at home practicing, I couldn't miss with that. But as soon as there was any pressure, because I only had like 14 pounds of holding weight on it, anytime there was pressure, I was shaking all over the place, and it would just kind of went to crap. So I switched to the Dominator Duo Monday before Neem. It's 20 and a half pounds of holding weight, something like that. And I shoot a really aggressive shot. So, I mean, the more that I pull against it, it does move a little bit more, but it usually tends to find the center more often when I'm nervous than not.
Right. What power lens are you using in there?
A six power.
You have a six. Okay,
Yeah.
gotcha.
Yeah. I was shooting a up pin before Neem, but when I got there, the fiber with the lighting in there didn't work out really well. So I went back to a dot. And I haven't changed it since. So
Okay, with light on it or unlit?
it was unlit because Neem's is World
Oh,
Archery, so you
right.
can't have any electronics.
And so then you carried that through to the Classic in Vegas, just stayed with the
Yep.
dot.
I just stayed with that, the dot. And for me, Vegas is super dark down there in the arena during the regular 2 days or 3 days. Shoot off was super good because they put those spotlights on the target. But, you know, the first 3 days, it was super dark for me.
Right. I would think that would be without any. And how much your dot, what does it cover on the target?
Just about the 10 ring, the Vegas 10 ring.
Gotcha. So not huge, but not huge, tiny but either. Yeah,
big enough to where it slows down some movement where you see it, but small enough to still aim it precisely.
And what kind of weight are you running on your stabilizers?
On the front, I have about 17 ounces. On the back, I have 28 with 3 or 4 ounces on the riser itself, too.
Oh, okay. You have it under the handle as well.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So pretty heavy setup there. And is that pretty standard that you've been running that for years, or have you changed anything in your setup this year?
This is probably the heaviest that I've ever shot. I have had 20 on the front before, but then the back was way lighter. But it's normally around the 13 on the front and 17, 18 on the back. But I just went way heavier this year on this bow, and it seems to be working.
It sure does seem to be working. All right. So now you have these big win. You have these, you know, Neem and Vegas wins, and then second and third podiums in the other ones. Are we now supposed to think of Chris Schaff as an indoor archer, or is 50 meters still your game?
Hopefully both of them. I don't want to be known as indoor or outdoor shooter. You know, I want to be versatile in everything, I guess.
Right, right. With Vegas now down, what's next on your schedule?
I have USA Indoor Nationals, which I'll be going to Salt Lake, the Easton Center down there, the end of this month. And then the last indoor will be Indoor Nationals in Louisville.
Gotcha. And then starting the USAT season?
Yep, I'll be going to Arizona Cup for the first one. I'm actually going to head down there probably a week and a half early, because normally up here in April there's still snow. So I'm going to head down there, take the family for like the first weekend, because there's a Supercross down there. I'm going to take them to the Supercross, and then I'm going to send them home. I'm going to stay at Mel Nichols' house, shoot, train there till Arizona Cup, and then I head straight from Arizona Cup to Antalya, Turkey for stage one of the World Cup.
Oh, gotcha. All right. So you got to be feeling pretty good about that coming, you know, this year starting off like this. I would imagine that's a good confidence booster.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is by far the best year I've ever had, so hopefully I can just continue to ride the train while it's still on the tracks.
Yeah, right. Now, are you from Montana? Is that where you're born and raised, or did you move there?
Nope, I was born and raised here. Same city I'm in now, so haven't moved anywhere.
So how does someone like you get into this high level of target archery in Billings? Is there a good target archery community there, or is this just, you just did it on your own?
No, there's always been, you know, a good community of target archers, decent archery shops here. Back when I first started, there was 2 archery shops. Now there's only 1, which Rob Morgan, Shauna Morgan own it. You know, so there was Tate there when he was living up here a lot to practice with. There's, you know, my brother is an insanely good shot. He just didn't handle the pressure well. He's made the Vegas shoot off before. He's qualified first in Lancaster. But he just, the pressure got to him a little bit, and he's got a family and a good job now. So he's kind of backed off a little bit.
Yeah. And
but that's who got me started, and it was my brother, really.
And did you start as target archery, or did you start as a bow hunter?
Well, I was too young when I started to hunt. So, you know, I pretty much just shot a lot of targets with a hunting setup, and then got into the hunting deal, and then started target archery.
And so there, like, you know, we would typically in the hunting places, usually 3D is the big archery game. Is that the same there, or was it, you know, like indoor? And
I don't think we've ever had any sort of ASA IBO qualifier or any 3D. It's not big up here. There's a few local clubs that put out 20 targets to go shoot before hunting season. And like, we used to have a state 3D series. Now that's gone. So it's just pretty much all target up here right now.
All target. And target being indoor, or indoor and outdoor, 50 meter field?
Pretty much indoor and then like a field courses.
Yeah. How about
there's
that?
I've never shot a FITA round in Montana or anything like that. So.
And is shooting the only thing you do for a living, or do you do something else as well?
I take care of 3 kids and take them to dirt bike tracks, races. But other than that, yeah, just shoot.
That's a full-time gig as well. Yeah, yep. All 3 of them are into dirt bikes.
About 2 of them now. One of them's only a year old, but I'm sure she'll be on it.
That's got to be like heaven out there for if you into dirt bikes. Kids, yeah. Plenty of places to ride. In the winter. No snowmobiles? Perkins didn't, you know, bring down one of his snowmobiles for you?
Nope, I don't have any of those.
Yeah, I'm always interested to hear how people get into being target archer, you know, a full-time target archer, especially with it being the like World Cup type of target archery. It just seems like there's more of the other here. But out in Montana, like to end up going to the USETS, how did you get into that path of USA archery stuff?
Well, the first time, so I would shoot like the Idaho Open, the Utah Open, and just kind of, you know, some bigger local shoots, I guess you'd say. And then I got hooked up with Real and Logan Wild. And in 2009, they talked me into going to try out for the indoor world team in the junior side of it. So I went and tried out, ended up making the team and winning the world championships in Poland. So, I mean, I think that right there, just having them push me to go try out for that first, just, I mean, transpired into now me shooting for the USA team on the adult side and going to all the USAT and most of the World Cup stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first one you went to, or the first year you got into it, you won the Junior World Championships.
Yeah, that was the very first trials I went to, very first World Championship I went to.
That's a pretty good way to start. Yeah. Yep. So is there a World Cup event that you really enjoy, or a USAT event that you really enjoy, like your favorite place to shoot or anything like that?
I think my favorite out of the country place, well, I like Medellin, Colombia. It's pretty fun. Bangkok, Thailand was awesome when it was there. One of the indoor World Cups. For USAT, I'd probably have to say my favorite, San Diego SoCal Showdown, just I think because there's things to do there.
Yes, compared to some of the other places, what we were for outdoor target nationals, we were in Malvern, right in my backyard. I know for a fact there's nothing to do there. So, but what do you think it takes to get folks to get more people to be interested in that category of archery, the USA archery side of things? I mean, I know it's shoot, that's where you get to shoot for the country, but I'm just wondering how we get more people into that versus 3D seems to be, I don't know, maybe it's just where I am. That's what people like to do, but how do we get more USA archery archers out there?
I think for that, we need to get, you know, go out and get more non-endemic sponsors. You know, if you can go to a USAT and shoot, let's say, you know, 100 and some arrows and win this amount of money, but you can go to a 3D and shoot 50 arrows and win 10 times as much money. I mean, that's where, like, as a professional aspect, that's where a lot of them are like, well, I'm going to go over here and spend my money at 3D because I have a potential to win way more. You know, getting someone new into it, you know, up here, there's not a lot of 3Ds. So I think, you know, the geographic of where you shoot and what disciplines are there is what sends people where they need to go.
Yeah, for sure. How much bow hunting do you get to do?
Not as much as I used to.
Not as much as you used to.
No, with, you know, we have USA Outdoor Nationals, US Open now this year, first weekend of September, which I don't know if they don't know about elk season, but that's when it opens too. And at World Cup Finals, if you make World Cup Finals, it's always in the middle of September. And then in November is King's Archery. So
There was something in October this year. I forget what that was.
It might have been one in Yankton.
Yes.
Maybe.
What was that?
Rushmore Rumble? Was that in October?
Oh, that was December. But there was something it? In October.
There was outdoor remember. Field championships.
Yeah. That's right. That's what it was. Do you shoot field? I don't know that.
Never have, but now I got some people up here that know how to do it, and I might give it a run this next year.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say Brady usually, he often shoots that with a compound, doesn't he?
I don't think so.
I know he's gone to, I know he's shot with John Demmer, at Field Nationals up there in, when it's in Washington. I didn't know what he was shooting up there, but, 3D now, I think I've seen you at an ASA or two or no.
I went to one last year in Louisiana. That was the first one that I've ever been to.
First one. What'd you think?
First one. I like to be able to see where I'm hitting, what I'm aiming at.
Yeah.
it's just like this year I'm going to be so busy with, if I make, the world championship team this year, I got all the USATs, all the World Cups. It's just, I'm so busy to even practice that or get to learn how to do it good.
Right. Yeah, that is a whole other, can't see what you're aiming at, as you mentioned.
If I don't make the World Cup team one of these years, maybe I'll give it a go, see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I think it's cool that you are committed to that type of archery, the USA archery, the, 50 meter stuff, because it just seems like people shift away or whatever. And it's good to see more people, especially high level folks like yourself committed to that type of archery. Cause like that's where you compete for the country. That's where you get to wear the red, white, and blue. That's gotta be pretty cool to do that, especially on championship day, finals day, when you're out there for the medals matches.
Yeah. It's awesome. Nothing like them playing your, national anthem when you're standing on the podium.
And you were on some pretty epic teams there. You and Steve Anderson and Rio, and you guys.
I've got some awesome guys that, have backed me up all the way, and I've backed them up all the way. But, Jimmy and I and Braden, world champions right now in the team round. I've won world championships with Braden and Steve. But, it's awesome to get to see you and shoot with these guys.
Yeah. The team rounds there. How is that dynamic when you're on the medals, when you're in those medals matches versus when it's individual?
I mean, all your problems that you have with each other or issues that you've had in the past, it goes out of the window. You're a team, you're going to win as a team, you're going to work as a team. Individually, I'm not your friend for those 15 arrows. Anybody, I room with Rio, we shoot off against each other. I'm not your friend for that 15 arrows. After it, we can be friends, but during it, we're not friends.
Afterwards, yeah. So you were talking about your kids there. Do they have an interest in archery?
Not really.
No.
They both have, the two older ones have bows right now, and they go shoot arrows every once in a while. But, their life is dirt bikes.
That's it. Dirt bikes. I've seen you post pictures from different events that you go to and stuff. Is that like every weekend when you're not competing?
Pretty much.
And it's not winter.
I'm actually leaving this Friday for Rapid City, South Dakota, taking them over there to an indoor race. So.
Oh, gotcha. That they're in or to watch?
That they're going to ride in it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they have an indoor series over there, and there's one every month, and I think I've made it to the two of them this year so far. And then other than that, my dad and fiance take them. But we're going this weekend. So,
yeah. getting back to your bow, I was just thinking about this. So you shoot a hinge, correct?
Correct.
Are you one of the archers that you'll switch back to a thumb and go back to a hinge, or you're just hinge, period?
Straight hinge. Thumb buttons and I just don't get along. I started off right when I first started using a hinge, And that's, I mean, what I've stayed with ever since.
Yeah. Shooting next to Jimmy Lutz, you don't get the urge every now and then to slam that baby.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you saw that this last weekend, but Kyle had that hiccup on that one arrow, and I turned around and started laughing because I didn't know what happened, but the whole crowd had the oohs and the ahs, and I knew what happened. I didn't see it, but I knew what happened.
Which hinge do you shoot?
Trueball HPC Flex, medium.
Okay, gotcha. And do you have that set pretty fast with a click? What's the set? What's your setup?
No click. And it's pretty about in the middle, maybe on the heavy side. You know, I like to be able to get into it and not have it fire on me real early because I do shoot pretty aggressive. So I'm pulling hard into the back wall. So it's got to be set a little bit on the heavy side.
Now let's talk about the new bows this year. You said once you set up that Dominator Duo that it just worked for you. What is it about it that agrees with how you do things?
I think, you know, so I'm shooting the 38, so 38 inches axle to axle. Still got, I believe, around a 7-inch brace height, maybe even a little bit bigger. But the M2 cams, which is their most aggressive cam, I think is what has helped me over the RTX. Because the RTX, I was shooting the EM cam, which is a little bit softer, you know, less aggressive cam. You know, the last 5 years I've shot the SVX cam. So it's an aggressive cam. You know, so I went to that one and it's pretty close to what I was shooting.
We just reviewed the PSE Shootdown Pro, shot it over the weekend. And I was just, as we were going through the specs, I saw those four cams. You know, you come out with a bow, like you like that super aggressive cam. I, on the Shootdown Pro, I was shooting the SE cam, which is the softest cam. How important is that, or how important do you think that is for a company to have those different options like that? Like, you're not just forcing people to one thing.
It's, I mean, awesome for them because, you know, you look at even the top pros, myself, I pull really hard. Kyle Douglas pulls super hard. Then you look at Chris Perkins, and he doesn't hardly pull at all against the back wall. You know, so having the options to custom it to how you shoot is, I mean, the best thing for any company out there.
Right. Yeah, as we were actually listing all the specs, we're like, man, got all these specs we got to put into graphics because they got four cams. But then on the flip side, as you mentioned, yeah, then you can have one bow and two people can shoot it completely different.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not, I mean, that's probably not the greatest for every dealer out there because everybody wants to try something different.
Right.
But, you know, to finally get a bow that's super customizable to you, it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And that shoot through riser, obviously that's something that you've been working with for years. You like that, or you tell me, is that something that you feel?
The way that I draw a bow back, for some reason, a lot of the time it likes to fall off on the left side of the rest. So without the shoot through on there, when I was shooting the RTX, half the time it'd fling all the way around, and but with the shoot through, it keeps it contained. So yeah. It's nice.
Getting back to Brady there, now that he moved up there, we talked about this at the Classic, but and you talked about a little bit that you guys are able to train together, and obviously Toya's shooting as well. Whereas I'm guessing a year ago, you didn't have that. I don't know if Tate was living there at the time. Were you training by yourself?
So I was training with Tate for quite a while he was still up here before he moved down to California with Paige, you know, and then ever since he moved, it's been probably, I want to say like 2.5 or 3 years now. I've just been kind of doing it by myself with no push from anybody. So, you know, hard to get out there and shoot a bunch of arrows, you know, and then Brady's house just got finished. I want to say like the end of November, we were in there for the first time, beginning of November, maybe for the first time in his basement. And now he's pushing me, I'm pushing him. You know, Toya's there shooting as much as she can with Ty.
I'm guessing that's a better situation than trying to just shoot yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And not to mention he's Brady Ellison, you know.
Yeah. He's just a normal guy. But yeah, having him and I, you know, shoot against each other head to head matches where he's shooting the recurve 10 ring for World Archery and I'm shooting the compound 10 ring. I mean, it's, you got to shoot a 150 to beat him kind of deal. So
it's insane. He was here. It was after he shot the 900. He was here at the shop. I forget for what. So we did a video and I'm shooting my compound and he's shooting that recurve and he's kicking my butt with it. I'm nowhere on your level, but I thought, come on, I ought to be able to get at least a couple points here. He just doesn't miss.
This year, I think we're probably about 50% win-loss ratio between the two of us.
That's crazy.
Which is good. I mean, he pushes you.
Yeah. So I was going to ask too. I mean, what's that like? You're training with, you know, arguably the best recurve archer that we've seen in the United States. Obviously we have some gold medal Olympic winners, but Brady's career, I mean, 4 Olympics, he's always in the top. I think he just became world number one. I think he just got the ranking. What's that like watching a guy like that, seeing how he gets to where he is? You guys were friends anyway, but.
Yeah, we've hunted and everything before, but him moving up here, I never really trained with him, practiced with him, except for the couple of days before Arizona Cup at Mel Nichols' house. So, you know, how much work that he has to put in with the recurve, you know, I never really understood it. You know, he's doing different things to it that I would never do to a compound. It works for him. So
we just posted the video of him shooting the 12 to win in the Classic. You were in the coach's box right there behind him. He calls that 12 and he hits it. You know, I don't recall. We've only had the 12 ring in play the last 2 years. I'm pretty sure he's the first one in the recurve side to call it and hit it. When he called it, what was going through your mind?
Well, at first he turned around and looked at me right before he hit the 12 button. And I'm like, do what you want. Like, this is yours to win or lose. Do what you want on this arrow. So he hit it, hit the button, and then actually, you know, hit the 12. And it was pretty sweet. And then not, you know, a few hours later, I turn around and look at him when I'm up there and he goes, do what you want. It's your arrow. You know, like the same response. I'm like, thanks. I needed some more encouraging than that.
Yes, that's right. We should mention that it came down to the last arrow and it was really close. Bodie Turner got the 12. You just missed it for the Classic. Is that your best finish at the Classic?
Yeah, by far. I made the final eight the snow year when it was just off of qualification. But that was the first time I ever made the final eight at Lancaster under normal circumstances.
But that Vegas, I mean, just next year, you know, your pictures, your banner is going to be up all over the place out there. And you had mentioned that was the first time when you realized you won Vegas, that was the first time that you got emotional like that. What was it about that moment, other than it being Vegas, but what happened to Chris Schaff in that moment that you were like, man, I just lost it?
I don't know. I mean, I think having my family there, you know, I had my dad there. I had my fiance and my youngest daughter there. You know, I've won like in Nimes, you know, I won it, but none of them were even there. Having them there and just having, I think the whole crowd that was, you know, cheering for me when I hit that last arrow, it's like, wow, I just did this, you know?
Yeah. It seemed like at the Classic and at Vegas, not that people were cheering against someone, but it seemed to me, my sense, especially at the Classic, was that there was just this vibe of people pulling for you, not against somebody, but it seemed like people wanted to see you win. And I got that kind of sense watching it online at Vegas as well. And you could feel that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, after everything started dwindling down and when Bruce had called the arrows out, I mean, you could just tell the difference in the crowd noise for each archer that he was calling the arrows for.
That's got to be pretty cool.
Oh, it was awesome.
Hey, they're
it
cheering awesome. For me.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, when you're not shooting your bow, when you're not taking kids to dirt bike races and events and stuff, what do you do that's not archery related?
Not much. Not much at all.
That fills your time pretty good.
That's my whole life right now.
Yeah.
It's those two things.
I see the antelope behind you there. So obviously you do some hunting. What's your favorite hunting to do?
Elk hunting.
Elk hunting. Yeah.
Yeah. By far. There's nothing like calling in an elk on the ground to 20 yards.
Did I see a picture of you with one this past fall? Or was it a year ago?
It'd have been a year ago.
A year ago. It was a good one though.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Was that close to home?
Yeah. It's probably an hour, 45 minutes at the most from my house.
I'm jealous. You can go an hour, 45 minutes away to shoot elk of that. It was what? High 300s?
No, it was like 320 is all, but
320. It looked, I remember the frame of that thing was pretty huge.
It was a good picture.
A good picture. I like that. you win Vegas, $57,000, PSE 15, 7 or 8 from Trueball, and then other contingencies. I mean, what's that like to know, boom, you just have this big windfall of money from one weekend?
Yeah. I mean, the past 3 weekends have been, awesome on that point.
Yeah.
I did sign a smaller contract this year with PSE than what I was normally getting. When I was first negotiating and talking to my fiance about it, she goes, well, you just have to win a couple tournaments throughout the year and we'll be back to where we need to be. Well, that's already happened in the first month. So, and some, Vegas is obviously the biggest tournament of the year. You're going to win the most money at the Vegas shoot, but I think it's not about the money at the Vegas shoot. It's about having your name being a Vegas champion, I think. I mean, obviously the money's nice, but people are going out there to be the Vegas champion.
Yeah, yeah. Regardless of what they were going to pay, you want to be the Vegas champ.
Exactly. They could have, paid $20 contingency and you're still the Vegas champion.
What is it because it has been around so long? What's the mystique about the Vegas? Or because it's the biggest? What is it that makes it so special for you?
I think it's the biggest and, just seeing everybody there in every different category. Well, this year, the 101-year-old guy was out there shooting. He comes out doing the right before the shoot offs. Bruce introduces him to everybody and it was a standing ovation. And just, the atmosphere is awesome there.
That's crazy. 101 years old.
Yeah, I hope I'm walking at 101. I don't care if I'm shooting, but I hope I'm walking.
So I have never been on the line like you guys have there, especially on the last day. But I will never forget the times that I was there on day 3. And we would go down with the championship open for the final arrows. And I'm not shooting. I'm not doing anything. And I'm nervous as heck. Like you said, that just the feeling of Vegas, like here we are. Anybody who cleans this is going to the big show. There definitely was something different about being there in that moment. I can't even imagine for you guys.
Yeah. Well, the ninth end of the third day this year, my first arrow, I fired it and it hit left, quite a ways left. And I thought it was out from my binos. Like it was that close. I'm like, it's out. I got the next two. So I think having, my adrenaline so high and then shooting that arrow where I physically was like, okay, I'm out. It was just a 100% adrenaline dump. It was gone. And I walked down there and it was halfway through the line. There was no judge call needed. Everybody, it was way there. And then I think the last three arrows, I shot all three inside out X's. And I think that one there, because, my adrenaline was just gone. I'm like, well, I think it's what helped me on the last end.
How about that? Yeah. Well, I've heard other people getting to the show say the 900 is harder than shooting in the finals. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, everybody goes there to make the shoot off. You know, making the shoot off is, you know, a huge step. And then winning it is just a bonus on top of that. So I think, you know, a lot of people go, okay, the 900, I got to shoot that. I came here to do what I wanted this weekend. And then the rest of it's just a bonus.
Right, right. Have you ever missed like very late on the last round on day three?
The COVID year where it was just the pros, I missed day three, probably about right in the middle, somewhere in there. But normally for me, the first day is the hardest.
Oh, okay.
It's besides the last arrow, obviously, yeah. You know, but I've missed more within the first five ends of the first day than I have anywhere else.
Really?
Yep.
Do you think that's just getting the jitters out, or what do you think it is?
I think it's just because you don't want to mess up so early.
Oh.
And then you just put more pressure on yourself not to mess up, and you're done.
And then you mess up.
Man. Yep.
Well, that, you know, Mike Schlosser this year at the Classic, Mr. Perfect, missed his very last arrow number 60, 59 11s, and he missed number 60. What, you know, being an archer of your level, what do you think happened in that moment? He said he just wanted it too much.
Yeah, probably, you know, and I think that's a lot where, you know, same reason that people miss in Vegas on their last end is they want it so much. But the plus side about Lancaster, he still got to shoot the next day. He wasn't out of it.
Exactly.
Where Vegas, you sit down, you go home.
You're done.
But I think, yeah, just wanting that so bad, you know, obviously you're putting more pressure on yourself, which is all self-induced. You know, it's.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that?
I mean, I go back to the basics of, you know, everyday practice. You know, it's like you've shot a million of them. You can do a million more. I try to keep my head kind of completely out of the whole archery scene at that moment. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, my kids. I'm thinking about other things like that, trying to just stay as calm as I can, you know, stay out of that particular moment right then and there.
Do you have a typical miss? Like if Chris Schaft's going to miss, you're going to do this. Is there a typical miss for you?
This year it's been left. I've missed everything left this year. And I don't know if it's the way I'm looking through the peep sight when I'm nervous or what it is. Normally it was low to low right, which I think is just giving up on the shot. Back end. Yeah, this year. And it might be because I'm pushing too hard against the bow to make them fire faster. I don't know.
Oh, to get the left, maybe pulling it a little bit. Yeah.
For the left arrow.
And now, are you a letdown guy? Do you let down much?
No. Try not to. I shoot pretty fast. I would say I'm probably top 25% of all the shooters on speediness, I guess, on how fast I shoot them. It's always been that way. I feel like the longer I hold it, the more it breaks down and the more it moves. So if I can get up there, get my timing right, it seems to work out pretty well.
You want it to go. You have a very distinct style with your hand. You know, you come back to full draw with your release hand. You take your finger off the peg or your thumb off the peg, and then your pinky and your thumb come around there. Are you now pulling, or are you doing anything with your hand on that release? Is it all just back pressure?
Depends on how nervous I am. There's when I'm, you know, nervous going to win, there's a lot of, okay, squeeze your fingers around, let's get it gone kind of deal. Normal practice, I just lean on it. You know, it'll fire when it fires.
Yeah, I know. I've heard Joel Turner talk about Bodies, and he says as long as he keeps his hand moving, keeps the release moving, you know, his timing is going to go. So I didn't know.
And that's pretty much what I'm doing when it comes to, you know, when I'm really a lot of pressure, nervous, is I get up there and keep that release rotating around. Not a fast, jerky, you know, punching. You just keep it pivoting.
Yep. How old are you? I don't even know that.
30 this year.
30 this year. 30. Okay.
30 back in September. So.
So you got a bunch more Vegas championships in you, right?
I'm hoping to turn 50 sooner than later so I can go in the senior class.
Oh, man. All right. That is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Chris Schaff, first off, congratulations on all your successes this year, not just Vegas, but all of that. And we certainly appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, Competition Archery Media Podcast, you can find on all the platforms wherever you find your favorite podcast. Thanks for being here.